The Gospel for this Sunday from Matthew chapter 11. When John the Baptist heard in prison about the things that Christ was doing, he sent some of his disciples to him. "Tell us," they asked Jesus, "are you the one John said he was going to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus answered, "Go back and tell John what you are hearing and seeing. The blind can see, the lame can walk, those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases are made clean, the deaf hear, the dead are brought back to life, and the good news is preached to the poor. How happy are those who have no doubts about me." While John's disciples were leaving, Jesus spoke about him to the crowds. "When you went out to the desert, what did you expect to see? A blade of grass bending in the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed up in fancy clothes? People who dress like that live in palaces. Tell me, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, indeed, but you saw much more than a prophet. For John is the one whom the scripture says, 'God said, I will send my messenger ahead of you to open the way for you.' I assure you that John the Baptist is greater than anyone who has ever lived, but the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
And you may be seated. On this third Sunday in Advent, to each of you and your loved ones, grace and peace to you this day. Amen. For our homily and meditation this morning, I refer you back to the verse from James, which Shane read earlier. And what I would like to consider this morning is a matter of patience. And so we have entitled the message this morning, "We Do Not Like to Stand in Line." We do not like to stand in line. I would venture to say, if I observed you in a supermarket, in Target, in Walmart, especially during this holiday season, and you were ready to check out, the first thing on your mind, you'd begin to look, where is the shortest line? Not the longest lines that you can gauge in conversation and perhaps meet some new friends, but the shortest line. Because we do not like to stand in line, and I do not like to stand in line. This is the time of the year our patience is being tested. The stress level is a little higher in the families. It's a little higher in the stores. It's a little higher in church. It's just the way it is. And our patience is being tested. I don't know about you if you like decorating Christmas trees or not, but I would tell you I would like to meet the person who designed Christmas tree lights. And you know what I'm talking about. Christmas tree lights are absolutely not very much fun to put on a Christmas tree. In fact, between my wife and I, we had a deal. I'll put up the tree, I'll help you with the Christmas tree lights, that's it, and life goes on. Well, about half the lights don't work, and rather than try to fix them, half the lights are now in the recycling bin. And I went and bought new lights because my patience is not very strong when it comes to those matters. Last Monday evening, before I had an obligation here, I decided I needed a little snack, and so I wasn't sure where to go, so I got on First Street and I said, "I'll go to Quick Trip, and I know what I want." As I'm standing there in line, a woman came and she had kind of an armful of bananas. And there were two or three people in front of her and they were taking their time. And finally the woman said, "I don't have time for this." She put the bananas on the counter and left. No patience. We don't have patience to wait. You see, we live in a time in society we want to know right now. We want to know the news right now on our phones, in the internet, on TV. We want to know right now. We don't have patience to wait until tomorrow or the next day. We want to know right now. Well, in the reading this morning from James, James talks about patience. James talks about the fact of patience in his writings. Now, James is a little chapter toward the end of the New Testament. Not much is known about James. But I will tell you this, James was a person who did not believe. He did not believe in God, he didn't believe in Jesus, he didn't believe in Christ, until he saw the resurrected Lord. And then he believed. And his life was turned around in a matter of faith. And he wrote these five chapters about how we are to live. And part of that is living a life of patience. He said, if we're going to be God's people, we need to act like God's people. And part of that is to be patient people. And so he says three things. Be patient with yourself, be patient with others. Why? Because God is patient with us. God is patient with us. And so he uses some illustrations. First of all, a very practical illustration. He talks about farmers. Farmers need patience. When they plant their crops in the spring, they need patience. They need sun, they need rain, they need the right temperatures. They don't plant the crop in April or May and expect that crop to materialize until September or October. They need patience. People who plant gardens need patience. If you plant flowers, you need patience. You plant vegetables, you need patience. It takes time. James says, be patient, keep your hopes high. Pastor Naomi alluded to, once in a while, especially during the winter season, it's easy to get our dauber down. It gets dark early, it stays dark later in the morning, it's just not easy to keep our emotions high. She said, look at the sky. James says, keep your hopes high. Don't give up. It was April 1965. I was a senior in high school, living on the farm. We had about 150, 175 Hereford cows who were scheduled to deliver their calves around the first week of April, which they did. In the snow, in the sleet, in the rain, in all kinds of bad weather. My Norwegian Lutheran father said, there are no excuses. To my brother, to my mom, to myself, we're going out into the pasture, into the barnyard. We're going to take care of those newborn calves. We're going to carry them in the barn. We're going to make sure that they live to the best of our ability. We're not going to give up. And I still remember that day, cold, wet, all those things. Not one calf died. All survived. Psychologists tell us that on a given week, there's probably at least one day that we feel like just giving up. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do what I'm supposed to do. It's just the way we are. James says, don't give up. He goes on to say, be patient. And here is something very difficult. He says, and don't complain so that God will not judge you. Don't complain. You have to be kidding. In Jewish culture, in Jewish religious beliefs, complaining and gossiping is known as eroding one's soul. When we compare ourselves, and I know you heard it before and you're probably tired of it, when we compare ourselves to the rest of the world, despite all that's occurring, we do have it quite good in the matters in which we live. Not everybody, understand, but average people have it pretty good. But what do? We complain. It's human nature. I have said so many times, I'll say it again. If you have a complaint, and it's scriptural, about someone or something, go to that person in private. Don't go to this person and this person and that person and complain about this person, whatever. It does no good. It takes too much energy and time, and it's not going to get resolved. If you have a complaint against Dean Johnson, my office is right there. Come and see me. And I'll either say, yes, you're right. Let's talk about it, whatever. Don't go past, tell Pastor Tim, David, Naomi, or somebody else. Tell me. Don't go to McMillan's and don't go to Perkins and complain. Besides, it takes too much energy. Be patient. Be patient. And go to that person. James continues, as we think about patience, about standing in line, be patient with yourself, be patient with others, for God is patient with us. You know, at times we get pretty disgusted with ourselves. Our decisions, our actions, we just get disgusted. We want to give up. Paul says, the things I do, I wished I would not. The things I do not do, I wished I would. It's human nature. God created us biologically through our parents. He set us here for a purpose. Do not give up. Second of all, be patient with others. This is the most difficult. To be patient with our spouse, our children, our co-workers, the public, those who drive on the streets, whatever. So I'm driving into Minneapolis for a meeting the other day. Oh, yes, on Highway 12. There was somebody driving 34 and a half miles an hour, and I was car number 22. And you know what I'm talking about. My wife, Debbie, happened to be along, and we were discussing the week's activities, and I said, Sunday sermon's on patience. Oh, really? She said, this ought to be good. We grit our teeth when we drive, when others don't do what we expect them to do. And in this time, the season, it's difficult to be patient. Last night at chapel, there's someone who works in retail. She came out and she said, I wish you'd talk to my customers right now because some of them aren't very nice to me. Be nice to the clerks. Be nice to retail people. Be nice to one another. Be respectful. Now, here's what's important. We've talked about what we would do, what you and I would do. Here's what God has done. God is patient with us. He was patient with the people of Israel 40 years. He's been patient with us for over 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. He could have sent Jesus any time, but he didn't. Why? He's not ready yet. And maybe we're not ready yet. He's patient with us. He's patient with us in daily forgiveness. Notice what I said, daily forgiveness. He doesn't say you're going to be forgiven on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and the other days. No, every day we ask for forgiveness, and he grants it to us. He's patient with us, not only in the season of Advent and Christmas, but throughout the entire year. So the next time you're standing in line, waiting patiently, being nice, being respectful, being thoughtful, be nice to yourself, be nice to those around you, but remember, God is most patient with you and me. He's patient with us. He's not done with us. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He has more things for us in the matters of faith, more things to do in this life for the greater good. No matter who you are, what you do, God is not done with us. He is patient with us. And he has so stated. And so we think about standing in line. Oh, it takes patience. It takes discipline. And we have many thoughts. But the next time you stand in line, think, well, God is patient with me, so I best be patient with those around me. Amen.